If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. The north wind driveth away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a white house. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. It is not good to eat much honey, so for men to search their own glory is not glory. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Amen. We'll end our reading here at verse 28. We pray that the Lord will bless this, the public reading of his own holy word. Now please let's unite our hearts in prayer as we seek the Lord tonight and as we ask God's blessing upon our time around his truth. Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence tonight and we give thee thanks for the opportunity to read the word of God and to draw nigh to thee in the place of prayer. We thank thee for this open book. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt open our hearts to what God has to say to us tonight through it. We pray for the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to attend unto the preaching of the word of God, and that this word might be really owned and used and blessed of the Lord. We thank thee that it is thy sword. It's not ours, but it's God's sword. And I pray that thou wilt use it tonight to minister to hearts and lives, to cut down pride in all of our lives, to bring down the selfish, arrogant thoughts of the flesh, and Lord, to tear down the self-confidence of sinful man. And we pray that thou wilt do thine own work through its usage tonight. I pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember those that step out in faith after thee tomorrow. I pray for them. I pray, Lord, that thou wilt undertake for them. We remember the Reverend Malcolm Patterson. We remember Sister Mrs. Allison Patterson. And we pray that thou wilt go before them, that the hand of God will sustain them as they go back to Kenya tomorrow. Go with them every step of the journey, and especially for Allison, just grant unto her the wonderful reassurance that round about and underneath are God's everlasting arms. We think that there's a work for them to do in Kenya, and I pray you'll bless the labours of their hand to the building up of the Church of the Firstborn. We pray too for the Reverend Kenny, his dear wife, and those that will travel with them tomorrow out to Kenya. Bless that group. We thank thee for working in other groups in days gone by, even for speaking to young hearts through such missionary teams. And I pray you'll speak, Lord, not only to the young people from our own land, but you'll speak, dear Father, also to the young men and women that will join with them from Kenya. May they be bonded together in Calvary love. May they work as one in the Master's harvest field over these next few days. And may they see much accomplished for the glory of God's great name and for the advancement of his kingdom. Remember again tonight those that are laid aside. We commit and commend them to thee. We think tonight of Joanna in hospital. Bless her and lay thy hand upon her. We thank thee for blessing her in childbirth. We pray you'll bless her and her little son, and you'll bless Gary, and that the hand of God would abide upon them all. And may they know tonight, even at the time of the evening sacrifice, like one of old, that we're lifting them up before God in prayer. Bless us now as we turn to the book of God. O Lord, open our hearts to the message this evening and bless it. For thy great name's sake we pray. Amen. Now if you turn with me tonight to our Bible reading, to Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 25. You'll find our text for this evening, Proverbs 25 and 25. And it simply says here, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. I think we'll all remember the summer of 2018 as one of the hottest and one of the driest on record. Now, the upside of it all was that we've been enabled to enjoy near uninterrupted sunshine. We've had all types of records broken, record sun hours of sunshine, and a record dry period. And for many of us, it has meant that we have taken to outdoor living, even if it's only just for 2018. Of course, there's a downside, and we can't have it every way. And the downside, of course, is that there has been a lack of rain, and that rain has resulted somewhat in drought right across our land. Many hundreds of people, thousands of people over these past few weeks have come up to see Spelga nearly dry and walk across the ancient road and bridge that once went down the mountainside. We will not see the like of that again for a long period. So as we remember what already has taken place in the summer of 2018, we can better understand and appreciate this wonderful illustration of Proverbs 25 and verse 25. You turn once again with me there. Only those who have been parched by thirst on a dry, hot summer's day would be able to identify with the writer. One whose thirst had been quenched by refreshing cold waters. We do live in a land where usually there is an abundance of water, but not so the writer of the book of Proverbs. Solomon knew the benefit of a reliant supply of water in a land that knew long periods of drought. Water not only to quench the thirst, but water to supply man's vital needs, those needs that were the difference between life and death in the Middle East. And so Solomon compared the reviving qualities of water to good news from a far country. We are separated sometimes by great distances of miles from ones that we love and ones that we know so very well, and living in far-off lands. Even a letter from them, a text from them, an email from them, a WhatsApp message from them. So many different ways that people keep in contact nowadays can be just as equally reviving as cold waters to a thirsty soul. You ought not to forget the blessing that communication can be. You don't have to go to a far-off country to bless someone with your communication and with your encouragement. You can do it to the one next door to you and the one in the family circle. What is true, of course, literally, as all of these proverbs in this wonderful book, it equally has a spiritual application. So this text, Proverbs 25:25, opens up to us avenues of study that can be applied spiritually to the needs of all of our hearts and all of our lives. And we're going to use this illustration tonight and to consider together with you this good news from the far country that's likened unto the reviving qualities of water to the thirsty soul. First of all, could I suggest to you that good news from God to sinners is just like the cold water to the thirsty soul. Sin, like the prodigal of old, has led us all into the far country. We were not born in the Father's house. We were born in the far country. And by our fallen, sinful natures, we are strangers and we're aliens to the commonwealth of God. We're separated. We're at a vast distance from a holy, a thrice holy God. And it is an alarming thing when the sinner is awakened and when the conscience is touched. just to feel the distance that separates them from Almighty God. And by the mysterious work of God, the Holy Spirit, in hearts and lives, there was a time in the experience of those who know and love the Savior in the gathering tonight when they discovered that great gulf that divided them from a thrice holy God. And they found it was dreadful to live in such a state of alienation. And to those that are in such a state of alienation, to those that sense their distance from the love of God and their distance from the grace of God, we do have good news from a far country tonight. And the good news from Emmanuel's land this evening is that God has not forgotten where you are. God knows exactly where you are tonight. And to someone who is lost in a far country, it's exceedingly good news to know that the ones at home have not forgotten about them. And to realize that there are those out and about and they're searching for them and they're looking for them and they're seeking to retrieve them and to bring them back to the homeland once again. And is it not good news to know that God is searching for the lost? Is it not good news from Emmanuel's land that God is searching for those who cannot get back to him by themselves? And from the far country, from Emmanuel's land, he sends the good news that there's a rescue mission and it's underway. The good news from God to sinners is that he has prepared the way by which they may return to him. And the question that concerns every awakened sinner is, how can I get back to God? I say awakened sinner because the sinner that is not awakened is oblivious to the fact that they're lost in their sin, oblivious to the fact that they can't get back to God. But once God, the Holy Spirit, starts to stir that individual and brings them to their senses, just like the prodigal of old in the far country, then they begin to question, how can I get back to God? How can I get my life back in a right relationship with God? And maybe that's you here tonight. You are that sinner. You're the one that's asking the question tonight. I know my life is not right with God. Maybe you're the backslider in the meeting tonight. I've wandered far away from God. But how can I get back to where I ought to be? The Bible teaches us that it is God's holy justice that bars the way. Remember the flaming sword that barred the way back into paradise to Adam and Eve there in the book of Genesis. And it is our sin that condemns us. We dare not venture nigh. And the closer we come to God with our sin, the more our sin brings us down. But mercy sounds a glad refrain. And it tells us of God's precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us of one who came from the far country. We were singing of it earlier on in that wonderful hymn, out of the ivory palaces into a world of woe. And the Lord Jesus, he came from the ivory palaces. He came from the splendors of Emmanuel's land. He came from his home country into alien territory, a land that had rebelled against him, into people that hated him and spat upon him and rejected him. But he came seeking the lost to bring them back to God. Yes, there's a way back to God. There's a way back to God for you this evening, and it's through God's own dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through his redeeming work of Calvary. It is through that precious shed blood that he shed for rebels and that he shed for sinners and that he shed for you on Calvary's rugged tree. The Savior has broken down every barrier, and it's by that blood-sprinkled way of sacrifice that you and I can make our approach made known unto God. That's good news. That's refreshing news. That's reviving news to those that are in the far country tonight. The good news that is sent from the far country is one of invitation and one of entreaty. We could understand so well if God would say, go. We can understand so well if God would bar the way. Go from me, I never knew you. Depart from me, I never knew you. We understand all of those things. But away above our own puny understanding, God says instead, come. He invites you and I tonight to come. He invites you and I afresh to come from the far country and to drink of that refreshing blessing of heaven once again, and to parch, that will parch our thirsty souls, to the thirsty soul. That's good news. Good news from the far off land. But it's good news that you've got to respond to. Here is good news to receive, good news to meditate upon, good news to revive the thirsty soul, good news for you to receive even tonight. And the good news is that many have already come and have found a welcome. The good news is that there are those that who sat in those pews in years gone by, they've already entered in through the veil, and they've received the eternal welcome and the well done of heaven upon their souls. I can think of many who have passed on before, and they're there in Emmanuel's land. They're already in the far country, brought nigh by precious blood. Let me reassure you, there are none too far from God that God can't bring them back home to himself. There are none too far away that his precious blood cannot draw them nigh unto himself. And that's good news, men and women. We live in a world that's full of bad news. And as a Christian church, we're nearly intimidated into proclaiming the good news. But here's good news to quench the soul. The good news from the far country. But secondly, can I suggest to you, if we go back to our text, Proverbs 25 and 25, that we also have good news from heaven for the saints of God, because it's just like cold waters to the thirsty. When a Christian receives a word from the Lord, it's just like that reviving, refreshing word from the Lord. And as pilgrims bound for glory, we must learn to feast upon the word of the King. And it is that comfort that we get from the word, only as believers, that God can apply to our hearts and lives. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, we read, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We could emphasize all the words in that verse, that we through the scriptures of truth, what has been written for us, we might have comfort and we might have hope. And how often when we've been trying to clamber up the hill of difficulty, we've been tempted, we've been tested in the battle of life, that we've looked for a word from the Lord and God has just brought that word, sometimes in the most unusual manner, to our heart and to our life. And it's just been like that cup of cold water to the thirsty soul on the dry and barren day. And we thank God that there's a verse, that there's a passage, that there's a promise that God has brought to our attention and has been good news from a far country. Oh, last Lord's Day afternoon, I had the wonderful privilege of sitting with the boys and girls in Emmanuel Christian School and asking them the catechism. And dozens of boys and girls came and they were able to recite large portions of the catechism. They only got it last year. When I was out last year, I took out hundreds of catechisms to them. And just in the past year in their afternoon Sunday school, they have been learning the catechism. And as I asked the boys and girls the questions in the catechism, my own mind went back to over 50 years ago when I sat in similar classes and I was taught the catechism. And it was just like good news from the far country. All of those wonderful truths of God's word, refreshing and reviving this weary heart and soul of mine. It never grows weary. The precious word of God never ceases to refresh the thirsty, weary pilgrim on the road to heaven. Don't grow weary of it. My best advice to you tonight as a Christian is to seek to maintain your communion with heaven. We quoted that verse this morning. It's also true that this world in which we live in is no friend to help you on to God. If you're just in communion with the world, and there are many who say they love the Lord and they're just like that, and they're in communion with the world, and they could tell you everything that has happened on the television in the past week. They could tell you everything that has happened on the news in the past week. They could tell you the most popular characters in the country and all that has happened to them in the past week, but they've not got a word from the Lord for weeks, for months, for years. The only way to revive our souls is to maintain our fellowship with Christ. And you'll find that's the only way to keep your heart right with God. It's His refreshing water that you need, no one else's. What is good news from heaven for the saints of God? I just think of some things with you tonight. The good news is that God is working all things out for our good. All things out. We believe in a God of providence, a God who controls everything that concerns your life and my life and this world in which we live in. Sometimes we look out and we see chaos all round about us, but God is ordering everything according to His own divine purposes. There is not a shaft of light can hit until the God of love sees fit. I love those verses in Romans 8. I pray that God will, I've set this as an objective before me. I pray that God will help me to preach through Romans chapter 8. It is one of the greatest chapters in the New Testament. I'll never preach all the book of Romans. That would be way, way beyond me. But I will look at Romans 8 this winter. And we're going to look at the truths in it. And the central verse in it is verse 28. And what does it really tell us again? That God is working all things together for good to them that love God. Isn't that good news to you tonight? Good news to me? Sometimes we're battling, and sometimes we're battling with ourselves, and we're battling with our own failings, with our own shortcomings, with our own lack of faith, our own battles, but God's working it all out. We're battling with things that are happening in this life and with our families and in our communities and the work that we're involved in, but God's working it all out. That's good news, men and women, for you and I tonight to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Blind unbelief would hide it from our view, but it's something to rejoice in. Is there not good news from heaven tonight to know that we have a great Desmond, a great mediator, and He's praying for us? We have a great high priest and He's interceding for us. I always take personal encouragement when people say to me, I'm praying for you. There's always something special when somebody takes the time to bow the knee before Almighty God and to remember your needs in prayer. That's a real blessing. If someone's praying for you, you're really blessed indeed. Well, we're all blessed because we have a great Savior in heaven, a great high priest, and He's not touched with our strengths. Well, He knows all about our strengths. The Bible tells us He's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and He's praying for our infirmities, praying for our weaknesses, and He's praying that we'll persevere, we'll believe in the perseverance of the saints. The true saints of God will persevere to the end. They will finish the journey. They will hear the well done of heaven. And they will finish because there's one praying for them, the blessed Son of God Himself. That's good news. It's good news that He's coming back from the far country for us. He said to His disciples just before He left them in John 14, if I go away, I'm coming back again, and I'm going to receive you unto myself. And that's His pledge. That's His promise to all of us. I'm coming back again for you. I might meet you in the valley, but I'm coming back again for you. I might meet you in that great triumphant day when the Savior returns. We could be that final generation that will be on earth when the Savior returns. I'm going to meet you. The Lord Jesus is going to meet his people. This is good news for our souls. And in heaven, he's preparing a mansion for us, not some wee dingy side room. He's preparing a mansion for us. I go to prepare a place for you. We'll fail to understand, I believe, the full importance of that. He had to go to Calvary in order to prepare that place for us. But he's gone beyond. He's entered within the veil. And there he's preparing a place for his own blood-bought people and for his church. And he's coming back again. And he's going to receive us unto himself. That's good news. Somebody said to you tonight, what is the good news? Well, the Bible is full of that good news. And it all centers on Christ and on Christ's work for us. What good news the saints of God have. Be in communion with Almighty God, and he'll share the good news with you. Finally, let's take a little look tonight, and we'll look at this picture in reverse order tonight. The good news that they get in heaven from earth. You would wonder, in heaven, is there any good news from earth? The text can be turned right around and applied to the angels and to the spirits of just men made perfect. We do not know how they receive the good news from earth, but they do. Heaven is a happy place. It tells me in Luke 15 and 7 that there shall be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. I thank God for that young woman who sought the Lord last Lord's Day in Emmanuel. There's a young Kenyan man said to me afterwards about her, heaven is happy today. But you know, heaven is happy every day. Heaven is a place of happiness. The angels in glory rejoice over the penitent who returns to God. And what a continuous song of praise and thanksgiving must be sounded forth as the elect for whom the Savior died are gathered in from all the four corners of the earth, from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. Today they've been gathered in. They've been brought in today. They'll be brought in tomorrow. There's not a day that they're not brought in. It's good news from the far country when they see the saints of God progress on the road to glory. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Heaven rejoices to see the triumph of grace in a world of sin and wickedness. Grace triumphing in a world of wickedness. That is something to rejoice in. It's good news from the far country to the inhabitants of glory when the saints of God are enabled to finish the course. I remember many years ago reading for the first time John Bunyan's allegory, Pilgrim's Progress, and God really breaking my own heart as I read it, how Pilgrim finished the course, how the invitation was given for him to come over onto the other side, and how he ventured into those chilling waters of Jordan, and how his foot nearly slipped, but he meditated upon the promises, and the Lord brought him through that dark, chilling water, and brought him through, and the trumpet sounded, and he was received into the celestial city. Oh, there's a day coming in which we're going to receive the invitation. Come up higher. We're going to get word from heaven one day that the journey is ended, and we're going to be invited to come up higher. And grace will triumph in a world of sin and wickedness, and in a heart that was undeserving of the least mercies of God. That's good news. Good news they get in heaven from earth. But today, right across this world, there are saints of God that have crossed the river. The trumpets have sounded and they've entered in. That's good news. As a Christian church, let us never be afraid to sound out the good news and to tell out the good news. The devil would try to persuade us that we're just living in a world with no good news. But it's grace that is the good news. Good news, but have you believed it? Good news, but have you received it? Good news, but have you made it your own? You can take the water to the thirsty man. You can take that refreshing, cold cup of water. But he has to drink it. You've got the good news. But have you received it? And have you believed it? This little land of ours has been blessed with the hearing of the good news. But we couldn't say tonight has been blessed with multitudes receiving it. Here's your opportunity. In this meeting house here and not alone, to receive the good news, to embrace it, and to make it your own. Just one simple step of faith, taking that good news and making it to be your own, and in believing and in receiving and in trusting Christ as your Savior, it's just like taking that cup of reviving, refreshing water to the dying, thirsty soul, which is good news indeed from a far country. If somebody asked you tonight, what did you hear at church? Tell them, I heard good news from the far off land. And I took the good news and I applied it to my own heart, and my thirsty soul revived, and now I live.